Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20. That's PODCAST20 for 20% off an annual subscription. Now let's get started. Bree, my co-host, how are you doing this week after another great weekend of Division I softball?
Yeah, it's very exciting weekend. I'm barely recovering and we get early softball because of the Easter weekend. So Thursday through Monday, we're going to have, you know, all kinds of softball. So I'm kind of just like, there's less time to kind of recover, which is fine with me, but excited for this weekend's, you know, holiday softball.
Yes, we've got a condensed week. It feels like we've got, well, we do have a ton of stuff up on the site. So head on over to d1softball.com and get in anything and everything you could want in terms of being a college softball fan. But we'll start off with this. Probably the biggest upset of the weekend would be Stanford taking the series from UCLA at home, and an incredible performance by our D1 softball pitcher of the week, Alana Vauder, and the Bruin offense just was real quiet. That staff silenced them. Ree, what do you got on that Stanford UCLA series?
Yeah, I caught at least two of the games. Magnificent job by the Stanford staff. Alana and you know others too. It wasn't just her. And yeah, the Bruins just couldn't seem to get the key hits, key run. They had some runners on base and just, I don't know, maybe it's just one of those weekends for them. They obviously, their pitching came to play, but the bats just weren't there. And Stanford got the hits when it mattered. Obviously, I think, we saw maybe the base runner left a little early on one of the runs, but, you know, they drove in the key hits when it mattered and kept it low scoring. And I think that's how you're going to have to beat, you know, when you're going to beat UCLA, you got to have pitchers that can match them. So great job by the Stanford staff. We've known they've been good. You know, they've had a few bumps in the road, I would say, and it was hard to tell early because their strength of schedule wasn't exactly great. It's a start, but man, if you can get that kind of pitching every weekend, you can be in every game.
Yeah, so Stanford snaps UCLA's 25-game winning streak, and it's the first shutout since 2013 for the Bruins. First time they've been shut out since 2013. So that was the biggest upset of the week. But the craziest series, I would think, I don't know. I know you agree with me. It would be the Virginia Tech Florida State series in the ACC. I mean, we talk a lot about the rise of the ACC and what we're seeing out with Virginia Tech and Florida State and Duke and Clemson. But Ree, I know you were tracking that game. We were all watching it. But talk to me a little bit about that Virginia Tech Florida State series.
Woo! Where to even begin with that series? Like, I felt like it was like five weekends into one weekend. It was like every game had like seven different parts to it. You could write like a book, you know, with different chapters. Yeah, obviously Virginia Tech on the road won the series. They lost the final game, which was a little crazy. But we started off with like an extra inning game for the first one, and Virginia Tech won that. And then Saturday, I don't know what happened. You can't even tell me what happened Saturday. Like every time I looked up, it was like 11 runs were scored, then 9 runs were scored, then like 11 more were scored. And like for teams that have two great, you know, pitching staffs, that was kind of an anomaly. And, you know, Virginia Tech, man, they're a deep team. They're more well-rounded. Their offense is more potent this year. They had some big play by Meredith Slaw. Their DP come through huge. I mean, I think she entered with 3 home runs all year, and she had 3 in that series alone against, you know, Florida State staff that's really good. So just a crazy series. And to cap it off, Florida State, you know, obviously they're not going to go down. They won't want to get swept. So they won the Sunday game, but little controversy with Emma Lemley, the freshman for Virginia Tech, illegal pitches. And then she got back into the circle yesterday against Liberty and 11 more illegal pitches called. And her pitching coach was tossed again. So that's 2 straight games he's been tossed. So we'll see if he can make it a trifecta this weekend. But it was wild. I mean, it was great softball, but then, you know, there was some, you know, not all great softball. Some of it, there was a few errors here and there, but just a really, really fun environment. Fuller State packed it. And, you know, I think Virginia Tech just showed, man, they can win any way. I think both teams showed they can win any way, and both teams are capable of getting to Oklahoma City. I know they probably, you know, some of the ways it was won, some of them may be like, well, maybe not that high scoring, but it was great. I enjoyed the series. It was very eventful. Like I said, I every time I was like, I don't even know how to describe this game, and I can't even do it. It was just too much. But Virginia Tech, man, they're top of the ACC standings now. They've got a really, really good cushion. They head to Virginia this weekend. And so it'll be interesting. That's a great race. I mean, Duke, man, Duke is just keeps playing. They just keep playing well and keep racking up those wins and hitting home runs like crazy. So it's going to be interesting to get down to the wire here. But Virginia Tech obviously is the front runner right now after that series win.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of transpires in terms of Emma Lemley and illegal pitching. We'll see how that is handled throughout the rest of the season and into the postseason. So we'll keep our eyes on that. So that's the ACC. And then we'll head on over to the Big 12. This is no surprise. The Oklahoma Sooners, they're 36-0.
Yeah, record. NCAA record.
And they've set the NCAA record. 30 of the 36 are run rules. And don't worry, all you OU fans on Twitter will let us know, and we appreciate you for it. So Jocelyn Allo, another monster week, our player, D1 softball player of the week. And the Sooners just keep rolling. They have a tough test, I hope, this weekend against Texas. Ree, what do you got on the Sooners?
Yeah, just Texas Tech. Poor Texas Tech was the lamb to the slaughter this weekend. It was just run rule, run rule, run rule. I don't know. Every time I looked up, they were hitting some home runs as usual. There's really not much to say with OU anymore. I mean, I'm hoping this Texas series, I mean, they have played a few close games here and there. Like, they quasi squeeze in one or two. So I'm hoping one of those emerges this weekend with Texas, and then looking at that, you know, eventually that Oklahoma State series, hoping that is a good one. But yeah, they just, I mean, the thing with them is just so deep, and their pitching staff gets kind of almost overshadowed by the offense. But, you know, adding Hope is dope. Hope Troutwine, who pitched a great game in that series too. And then Nicole May and Jordy Ball with a no hitter. It's just, it's hard to see anyone beating them more than, you know, maybe once. I just don't, it's just such a juggernaut of a lineup. I mean, we've talked about it. People start hitting home runs. I'm like, oh, that's right, she's on the team too. Like, you just kind of forget, you know? So yeah, not much to say about this weekend series other than it was just setting the record, which was, you know, impressive and not surprising. They got a few more records to chase in terms of consecutive game streaks they can go for. But yeah, just another impressive performance, really dominating.
So that's the Big 12. OU, just there plugging along. Head on over to the Big 10. Nebraska, Cornhuskers, they're 30-9 and 10-0 in conference. They're in the middle of a 15-game win streak. So Rhonda Ravel's just got them. You know, they're at the top of the Big Ten. It's not Northwestern. It's not Michigan. You know, Lexi Blair is hurt for Michigan. Northwestern, without Danielle Williams in the circle, it's a little bit shaky, but they've got an incredible offense. But keep an eye on Nebraska. Just impressed with them. And they had a little rough start to the season, and now they're just rolling through the Big Ten. And, you know, really special moment. Caitlin Neal, last night against, we're taping this on a Wednesday, against Iowa. Her father had passed away. It was his birthday. She said she was playing for him, and she hit a home run. So super special tribute by Rhonda Ravel on the broadcast. I don't know if you haven't seen it, you should find it. It's on Twitter. It's on Nebraska's Twitter, but just really special. And excited to see how the Big Ten shakes out. I mean, Northwestern's up there. We thought Ohio State was going to be in there, but then they just dropped a handful, and then Wisconsin just lost three in a row to Illinois. So who knows what's going to happen in the Big Ten, but it looks like Nebraska is the front runner there.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that's surprising to me. I was not, like, you know, not that they're ever bad. I mean, they're never bad, but they had kind of dropped off a little bit from where they've been in the past, these last few seasons. And like you said, a little bit of a rough start, but they seem to have found it. We'll see, as you know, some of the other series that upcoming, they play Minnesota this weekend. They'll get some tougher tests coming, but yeah, just that 15 kind of snuck up on me, to be honest. I was like, wow, they've won 15 straight. That's
And make note, they will not play Northwestern this year. So they do not have Northwestern on the schedule. They'll have, like you said, Minnesota, Ohio State, Indiana, and Wisconsin left in the Big Ten. So
yeah, another team in the Big Ten, Illinois, they've been playing well. I mean, Torrey McQueen, you know, pitching really well. That's another one kind of flying on the radar that I'm like, wow, I'm starting to notice them now too.
And Maryland, I can't believe it, because they again had a rough start to the season. They're 7-2 in conference play. So, you know, keep an eye on Maryland. That's the Big Ten. Then we'll go around the nation. One of my favorite series of the week, San Diego State versus UNLV. Incredible series at UNLV. San Diego State, we have them ranked in our top 25, and they took that series from UNLV. Maggie Ballant did an incredible job. April Visser from UNLV had a good series as well. So that one was fun to watch. I don't know if you caught any of those games, Ree.
I caught a little bit of them, and I read about all of them. Really, you know, our girl Mac Barber is getting walked a lot, but she had some key hits. You know, she's kind of her on base streak is getting up there, because no one wants to pitch to her. But yeah, I caught a few of them. That was, you know, really tight, really good. You know, I think one of them extra innings, right? It was one or two? One of them, the one I. But yeah, I'm loving it, man. That Mountain West is really competitive this year. You know, you got Utah State's up there that near, and Boise State's coming to visit San Diego State, and UNLV's in the mix. So that's a really fun conference this year. Really, it's deeper than it's been in a long time. I'm loving all these matches. But that was a really good showdown. And San Diego State, though, that they needed that. They need to sweep those at home, especially, and they got it done.
Yeah, you said it, Mac Barbara. She's reached base 32 games in a row.
Yeah, they just, you know. She's automatic, man. Tell you.
That's automatic. So that's pretty much our recap of the week. Any other performances, Ree, or anything you've got to add from last week?
Just the Alabama, SEC, Alabama over Florida. That was a key series down there in Gainesville. And they Alabama beats Florida in Gainesville a lot. That's their fourth straight on the road in regular season. They've beaten them. And they won the first two, and Florida salvaged that last game. You know, that was, I think I had an SEC notebook if you want to read. I mean, no pitchers are safe in the SEC, man. You can be a Montana Fouts and still get runs scored on you. She's had a few of those in conference this year, and it's been more plentiful. Her and Lexi kind of, they struggled there in the series finale a little bit, you know, relatively speaking for them. So Florida was able to salvage that last win. But still, you know, 2 out of 3, Patrick Murphy and the crew will take that. He'll thank everyone as usual on the way out and on the broadcast and everything, and then take his wins back to Tuscaloosa. So that was a good one. That was a really good one. In Arkansas in the SEC, I mean, just crushing home runs as usual. I mean, they're just, you know, I know they're out to prove that last year wasn't a fluke, and they're doing that so far. And it's looking pretty good for them to, you know, they're at the top of the standings right now. So
yeah. Speaking of home runs, how about Lacey Fincher's bomb, the Georgia game? Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me.
Atlanta, yeah, it's still going. If there wasn't trees there, that thing would just kept going. They need to build trees just for Lacey Fincher. Just for Lacey Fincher.
I mean, I've seen a lot of balls hit in my life. That thing was crushed.
I think I screamed when I was watching it. I'm like, my god. Like I need to see that like 900 more times. That thing was crushed.
All right. Well, that's it for the week. Let's head on into our special guest of the week. Ree, who do we got?
Yeah, we obviously had to bring on someone for Virginia Tech. So we love our outfielder. So center fielder Darby Trull is our guest. She's a fifth-year senior, so I wanted to bring her on because she's obviously got some of the historical background in terms of how this team compares to others. We talk about just the series down in Florida, their trip to Florida, how she got over her fear of roller coasters while she was in Florida. So that was interesting. And what the Mario bag signifies to this program, and a lot of other fun stuff. She was great to talk to. So I think our listeners will really enjoy listening to Darby.
All right, here's Virginia Tech center fielder Darby Trull.
We are now joined on the D1 Softball Podcast by Virginia Tech senior center fielder Darby Troll. Troll is batting 328 with 16 runs scored and 12 RBIs for the Hokies. She recently helped Virginia Tech beat Florida State in Tallahassee last weekend during the first top five ACC showdown in conference history, and it was a great one. Man, that series featured just about anything you can imagine. Virginia Tech plays Virginia this weekend, trying to remain on top of the ACC standings. So we're really, really happy to be joined by Darby. Thank you so much, Darby, for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's get right into that. I mean, in terms of that series down at Florida State, how did it feel? Like, you know, watching as a viewer, it was just, the twists and turns from each game was crazy. How did it feel to be in that environment and play in that series?
I know, like, I guess, like, for me, so, like, I guess this is my fifth year, and I've been to Tallahassee twice, and I've never won a game there. So it was, I guess, like, for my freshman year in the ACC tournament a few years ago there. So, like, I guess, like, a big thing for me, I was like, I want to win a game in Tallahassee. Like, I'm going to win a game in Tallahassee. So, I don't know, I guess, like, coming in and being super prepared for that weekend, I know that we knew that they were going to be as well. But I don't know, I was definitely excited to get back to Tallahassee, got to have another go at it. So, yeah.
What did you guys, I mean, especially that second game that was just a wild swing with all the offense. And when you were in the middle of all that stuff with the extra inning games, game one, the wild thing in game two, are you realizing how crazy it seems? Or are you just kind of playing, like, you know, at bat to at bat? Or when you're in that moment, do you realize how kind of crazy those twists and turns are?
Yeah, it's actually like kind of unexpected. I think, for us and, for Florida State, we weren't really exactly sure like how this series was going to go. I think, I'm not sure anybody knew. Yeah, 'cause it was such a big series for ACC in general. I'm pretty sure, like, was it like the biggest one ever? But yeah, so like not knowing anything, like I had no expectations. I knew that it was going to be a big game, a very big, intense environment. Florida State has a lot of fans. They're always loud. I remember that. I guess like just being comfortable in that environment. We have a lot of returning players that's been in those kind of environments. So it wasn't super crazy, I guess, because maybe we expected, I guess, like that kind of environment and that kind of game. And we've been in those kind of moments before. So it was just fun to be back there.
What has been the key? I mean, we obviously talk a lot about Keeley and Emma, and, you know, Emma, the newcomer, helping her. And we know there's a lot of, you know, veteran returns, but what do you feel has really been the key to this team's success this season? Why are you guys, making such leaps into the rankings? And I don't think it surprises people that follow softball, but someone on the outside might wonder, like, what has been the key to this success?
For starters, we have a really good like team communication and like really good environment as well. Like, this is probably the best team I've ever been on in my entire life. As like a means of like, we have the best coaching staff in the country. Like, I really believe that we have the best like teammates. It doesn't matter. Like, say if one person like comes out of the lineup, we have like, 50 like different options really to step up, and it doesn't feel like we're skipping a beat because everybody's so good and everyone's so deserving to be on the field. So it's not like a disruption or something like that happens, because I know that everybody on our team, anybody on the bench can come up and do the same thing. So it's like, I guess, like having that I guess like team chemistry and having the best coaches really, I think, is the secret, I guess, to this year.
Yeah, and I think we kind of saw that with Meredith being so, you know, this weekend, just players that maybe weren't always at the top of the, you know, the mouth that came out and did some big things and had some big hits. So it was just wild. The trip to Florida overall, before even the Florida State, you guys had a big series against UCF that you won. You won, which it's a rare non-conference, you know, matchup in the middle of a three-game series. But you guys got to stay in Florida. What stuff did you guys get to do in Florida, maybe just have a little bit of fun on that trip?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun, actually. We went to Universal and spent some of the time, like, there at Island Adventures, which is kind of crazy, I guess. Like, for me, I got over my fear of roller coasters because before, I've only ridden one roller coaster my whole life, like, one upside-down one, really. So I kind of got over it. They came to my teammates, like, you're fine, whatever. in the first ride had like an option to like, I guess, like pick a song, and the song would play throughout. So I think that kind of got me through it. It was like Kanye West, Stronger was my first song. And then we had Pump It, like Black Eyed Peas, on the second time we wrote it. But I definitely think that got me through it. And I kind of go over my fear with roller coasters, and now I love it, that place. So definitely will go back there soon. But yeah, that was a lot of fun to spend the day with my teammates and spend the time at Island Adventures. So that was really fun. So.
Yeah, I saw some of the photos. I think that looked like fun. That's yeah, there's some bigger, like, you'll have to attempt to visit some other parks across the country. Like, you know, some of the, I used to do Magic Mountain a lot when I was a kid back in California, and those roller coasters are pretty intense. I don't even know if I could do it now. When I was a kid, maybe. So you're at the age, you can still do it.
Yeah, I grew up by like Carowinds and never really went because I like just been afraid, I guess, of like, I hate like huge drop offs or anything like that, or being upside down. But now, like, I realize, I guess I really do like that. I just didn't know it. So
there you go. Adrenaline rush. Darby, tell us a little about, how did you get into softball? How did your career start? Kind of take us a little bit in your childhood here.
I guess like my dad, played baseball. He's like been a big supporter of me. He's always pretty much anytime I want to hit or throw or anything like that, he's always there. So he's definitely been a big part of why I'm still playing. Yeah, I guess like just really my dad in that sense. So,
what age did you start? Or did you start in baseball, or did you go right into softball?
I did right into softball, but I think, I don't know, maybe like started like five-ish. So around that range.
And obviously youth, you play all these positions, but when did center field become your position? When did that become one that you wanted to play and that you really tried to master over the years?
So I guess like I did like pitching, and I played second, but being lefty, it's kind of like hard to be on the infield, I guess, like to making plays. So I moved to the outfield, and ever since then I've loved it. It's just kind of like I like being able to make longer throws. I don't know, I guess like infield's just kind of scary for college, honestly, that people have like some ridiculous like bat speed and like all that stuff. So I kind of like to say as far away, but yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I love outfield a lot. So I was probably like, I don't know, maybe like 12 or so when I moved out like there. So it was a while ago, but
yeah.
Sometimes I still get to play second in practice. Sometimes we play like, you can play in different positions, but it's really like a base running drill. So like one group will be base running, the other one will be in the field, and you can be in different positions. So I get a little bit of my infield sometimes.
Yeah, some good plays this weekend against FSU in center, though. That was some key plays. So much stuff that happened that, you know, I'm trying to reflect all the plays in my mind. There were so many, but good plays. What are your aspirations beyond softball? You're getting now where your career, you know, fifth year, like you said. What do you want to do after softball?
I'm not really sure, like, quite yet. I'm still working on, like, I'm in a master's program right now and like leadership's kind of stuff. So it's like more like management. But I'm not quite sure exactly. Like, I studied more like consumer studies. So maybe like more consumer analytics side. It's like I love numbers and that kind of thing. Yeah, something like me, like social marketing, consumer analytics, all of those lines. But I also, you know, love being in sports. I've been in sports my whole life. So if I could still kind of contribute that into sort of what I love to do and some things that I like, that'd be great. But still trying to figure out all like the pieces exactly. I think I'm probably just going to have to jump in and try something and see what I think. So,
yeah, softball takes up so much time, not much time for like, you know, job, you know, sometimes internship, but even that's hard when you're in the middle of sports. What do you have any things that you do outside of softball hobby wise or anything that you're into that, you know, like I said, not much time left in a day, but things that maybe to get your mind off softball?
I don't really know if I do anything else, honestly. Softball is kind of like a, not like a, like a therapy in a way, that sounds kind of cheesy, but in a way, like, it kind of does, gets my mind off of anything else that's going on in the day. So I enjoy going to practice and seeing everybody. So it's not really necessarily, like, of course, like at like a high level, it's very intense and comes like with a lot of pressures, but I think it's like, for me, it's like a good way to get away from like taking a break from school or taking a break from that, like that intensity, or like knowing honestly, really, what am I going to do after this year kind of. So I'm just going to keep playing, and it's just kind of fun to get my mind off of it, really. So I'm not really sure if I have anything else, like, I don't know. Maybe watch TV, I guess.
Yeah. What's your favorite show? Yeah. What is your go-to show, maybe, if you had to binge watch something?
Well, right now I'm currently like rewatching How I Met Your Mother. I've seen that a few times, so I love that show. But you know, usually like more like shows like Big Brother or something like when that comes on, with like, but not really like anything else from there. Like till then, I'll just rewatch How I Met Your Mother probably until there's another show or another season comes out, maybe, and something else that I've been watching.
So you've memorized every line from that show at this point, sounds like.
I do like it a lot. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now I've done stories, you know, with Keely, and we've had her on the podcast, and we know she's very into, you know, doing hair and doing nails and everything. Are you one that frequents, is she someone that you've, have you had her do anything to you in terms of paint your nails, do your hair, anything of that nature in your years there?
Oh, well, when I lived with her, like freshman years, like she was always like, everyone's like nail lady, but anyway, but now like everyone on our team, like, it's kind of weird, but everybody on our team like just has to have her nails done. We think we're like Beyonce or something, but yeah, everyone does. There's a few people like I think gotten their haircuts by her too, but I always get mine in the summer, so it's like kind of like one time, and so I don't get to like see her as much then, but I would definitely let her do anything. She's great. So and so I know she does a lot of deals.
Yeah, you owe the Beyonce nails, huh? It's hard to see.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I got the orange kind of sort of look, but right now.
It looks good. Yeah. Well, I knew Keely was in. I mean, she's her dream, you know, to start the hitting facility / spa type, mm-hmm. you know, is something that I was like, that's a really good idea. Have all the moms come drop the kids and just get, you know, get hair and makeup done. So yeah. Well, we'll leave you on this. We're really excited. You know, like, obviously we're going to be writing about you guys way more and more. I know the goal is for everyone there is Oklahoma City. So, but is there any like pregame rituals that you or your teammates have that have kind of helped spur this great season? Anything that you guys have to do pregame or things that you do for fun to kind of get you in the mode of a game?
I don't know, but it's funny that you just said that. Cause we were walking through the airport in Atlanta, and I just like, you know, like you see the people's terminals where they're going. And my roommate and I, Mackenzie Lotta, we were just talking, and we were walking by, and we're like, there's one screen that said like Oklahoma City. And I was like, oh, that's just funny. Like, what if we have to like see that one day on our terminal? Like, that's crazy. And she's like, stop, like, just like try not to like talk about it. But it's definitely obviously a reality. But yeah, like pregame rituals, I'm not sure. Like, we try to kind of like stay away from, I guess, like having certain things like that, like trying to think. But I know everyone is like kind of like, oh, like I had my hair like this game, but just like little things like that. But no, I guess like the only thing like we kind of do as like a team is I don't know, we really just, we have like, I guess, like a joke of the day and a Mario bag, I guess. But like the joke of the day, we spin the wheel before a game and before every game, like before we get on the bus, like the person that's picked, they get like spin the wheel. They have to like tell a joke to make everybody laugh before we get on the bus. So it's kind of fun. That's been really funny. Like a lot of people have done some really funny things. Like I had the coaches going up and do some couple dances. So that was fun. Yeah, so then like they have like the Mario bag spin for that, and like I guess mobility at the end of the games every game. But yeah, that's pretty much it, like other than like the joke and stuff. So
the Mario bag, now what's that kind of, is that,
yeah, so like that's kind of like it's like the superstition, I guess, is like kind of like a joking way, but like as long as we're playing good, we keep the Mario bag, and if we're not playing good, we'll switch it out maybe for something like a Barbie bag or whatever, just like as a joke. But it's just like has of all of our like important stuff, like lineup cards, pins, notes and stuff like that. That all like important stuff kind of goes in the bag, but it's just kind of like joke of the bag, like somebody will carry it and they have to carry it all day. And you look kind of stupid carrying around the Mario bag. I think it's funny, but yeah, that's just, we've luckily this year we've kept Mario the whole year and hope to keep him for the rest of the season. So that's a good sign, I guess, to keep him.
Hopefully he'll go on that OKC. That was a sign. There you go. Yeah. We won't jinx it. That's like an interesting sign there that maybe we'll remember that once a few months here. But Well, this has been great. We really appreciate it. It's been really fun to watch you guys. I know there'll be much more in the future here that we'll be watching and following. So thank you for joining us, especially after such a fun series in Florida. I know you're tired because you even had a midweek in Liberty thrown in here in the middle of it all. There's no stop for Virginia Tech. There's no stop. So appreciate you joining us today on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Virginia Tech center fielder Darby Troll. Great to have her on the podcast. And I'm excited for the Hokies. I think they've got a fun little thing going on there. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see them in the Women's College World Series.
Yeah, and I loved when she dropped in there. When I mentioned that, she said, you know, when they were walking through Atlanta's airport, that they looked over and there was a flight taken off for OKC. So that was a sign or something. So they definitely have those ambitions as well. So I think they took that as a sign. So I hope they make it. I'd love to see them there. Keith Richard last night got her 1,000th strikeout, which is a pretty cool milestone. So they've got obviously her and Lemley, and now they're that offense. I think the only thing that they, you know, that they still hope that they could clean up is some of those key errors sometimes still prop up here and there, which was kind of their downfall last year at UCLA in that super regional a little bit. So I think if they can clean up that part defensively, man, they got all the components.
Yeah, I think we're not, well, you and I aren't surprised. We've been watching this for a while. I think, you know, we've got a good thing going on there. And hopefully, like we said, that the illegal pitch issues isn't going to be an issue for them heading into the postseason. So that's Virginia Tech. And for preview of the week, Ree, what are you watching this weekend? We've got games moved up because it is Easter weekend, but what are you watching this weekend?
And on the sadness meter, the only reason I knew it was Easter weekend is because once I saw there was Thursday games, I'm like, there has to be something going on this weekend. And then like, oh, that's right, it's Easter. Like my whole world just doesn't like revolves, like the sports calendar dominates. So that's the sad say of Rhiannon, that I only knew it was Easter because I'm like, why are there so many Thursday games? Let me check. Oh, it's Easter. Yeah, well, I'll just, you know, I'll give you two in each in the conference. SEC, Arkansas hosts Kentucky. I think there's going to be a lot of home runs hit there, possibly. Exciting series there. And then ACC, I'm keeping my eye on Clemson hosting Notre Dame, top 25 matchup now. So those two top 25 matchups are really ones that I got my eye on in those two conferences. Any ones that you're keeping your eye on?
You know, we've got Michigan playing Maryland. I know that wouldn't normally be something that we'd keep our eyes on, but Michigan needs those three wins if they're going to stay in contention here. And Maryland, like I said, they're quietly just moving along. So I got my eye on Michigan and Maryland. And then up in Berkeley at Cal, Cal and Stanford are playing this weekend. So that will be a fun one to watch. The rest we've got on the website. So head on over to d1softball.com and we'll tell you exactly what to watch. We've got everything on there for you.
Choking down by our notebooks, man. They're in every notebook. We got a breakdown and analysis for every conference. So if you want to see the key matchups in that conference, check those articles out, man, because you can't get much better. I mean, we pack it with information. There's so much stuff. If you want to like figure out what to watch and why to watch it, go to the notebooks. Those are key.
Yeah. So head on over to the site, d1softball.com. Like, subscribe, let us know what you think. You can email us at info@d1softball.com. And I think that's it for the week. Ree, any final thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to another weekend, man. It's just, there's never a lack of, you know, things going on. I feel like every time I'm missing something because something else is going on, another game. But I think this one's going to be good because we got softball for, you know, a lot of straight days, Thursday through Monday at least. And there'll be some good games. So make sure you have all your devices open and following it. And you can take Sunday off, you know, if you're with family. I totally understand that. I'll still be probably watching softball. But yeah, I'm excited for the just, again, there's never this whole season. It seems like it's going by, it's like we're a little past the midway point, but it's gone by really fast. So before you know it, we'll be we'll be releasing those NCAA, you know, brackets for real. Although we've had some projections that you should check out on our site as well. But it's interesting to see. I sometimes don't even really look at the, you know, I look at the standings and I'm like, wow, because like I'm so focused on the individual games that you kind of lose the bigger picture. And then you look at the bigger picture and it's getting pretty interesting.
That's right. All right. Well, that's it for the D1 Softball Podcast. We'll see you all next week.